Okay, so now I'm recording to the cloud. This is Brett Radio Show, Beta 0.1, 12/20/22, Randy's birthday, happy birthday, 10:38 p.m., Moss House. Clap. We're going to pause, stop recording, chat. We're going to see if we can invite someone. I'm inviting you. Invite. Try. Are there no contacts here? Oh, email, Yahoo, whatever. Figure that out. There should be a way to invite people. More, what is this? Ask all to unmute. Mute all upon entry. Play join and leave sound. Lock meeting. Enable waiting room. Hide profile pictures. Unmute. Start video. Invite. Meeting. Invite. Meeting passcode. Choose from list or type to filter. Copy invite link, copy invitation. Oh, because I don't have Messenger installed on this, right? On this laptop. So how do I do this? Right? Right. It's 2 8 2 6. Eight, 2 3 6 7 8. Enter nothing. Copy and by link, copy and rotation, copy and by link. Right. Contacts, email. Right. Like a screen, trap is clean. Test. Da 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 I spend 3 megabytes a minute. Hey, you guys busy? I'm trying out the Zoom thing. I have high hopes for this, for making maybe a radio show type of thing. I just wanted to see if you guys would play around with me with this. Go on Zoom. You want to go on Zoom with me? Oh, you're asleep. There you go. Okay, go back to bed. Yeah. All right. How's your day?
I mean, I'll still recover from being sick.
You're still recovering from being sick?
Yeah, waking up the flu.
Okay. All right.
You did okay?
Oh, I had another wonderful day. Mm-hmm. What did I do today, Ma? Don't know. Oh my gosh. You know, I was in jail the weekend. Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh, that was so great. Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah. Best time of my life. Best weekend I ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like jail was made just for me. Oh. All right. Okay. I guess I'll just hang up and keep tinkering with this, see if I can find someone else to come online and play with this with me.
Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry. Yeah.
Say again.
I said sorry about that. It was
me. Okay, yeah. Okay. Your sister was asking me that you guys went to see her mom and she got mad that you didn't call her or something.
My sister got mad I didn't call her.
Yeah. Did you see her mom?
I had to pick up my ATM card. I just went there for a turnaround trip.
Lovely.
Why would I call my sister on
anything?
My mom wouldn't even let me in the house.
Wouldn't even let you in.
No, that's what I'm saying. I just went and picked that up, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Why, when did she call you?
That was a text. It was yesterday, day before, something like that. Maybe it was while in jail, maybe the 19th. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember that text. So yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, whenever you can send that over.
Okay.
But you didn't hear anything from my mom or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's sick. I don't know if that's why we got sick. Yeah, you know? She's okay. Sick with the flu. Sorry. Oh, she's okay. I haven't checked on her, yeah.
Your mom?
Yeah, okay. But she's sick. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah.
How long does it take to go to your mom's from Phoenix?
God, it was like probably 5 hours, but it was a hard, for some reason, it was a really hard trip.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize I was going to go to where I had my roundabout accident. You remember that?
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I kind of was stressing out about that. I didn't realize I haven't been to that spot since it happened.
Yeah, wow.
And then, you know, we had to sleep in the car because I couldn't drive all the way.
Yeah.
It was cold, it was freezing. I guess. Up there, that part of Arizona's more freezing than this part.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then we got there like at the end of the middle of the night, and there's no place to go. So pretty much it was just really rough. Okay. And then I just had to get my debit card because that stupid debit card expired. I had to get a new one. So that's why it was just literally for that. And then my mom didn't want to, she's doing the same old thing she always does. So that bummed me out too.
Yeah.
I don't know why my sister's saying why would I call? It wasn't a trip to go out there to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it could have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't need that drama. Okay. My God, I don't need that drama right now.
Okay.
Did you respond to her anything?
Yeah. I said, what are you talking about? why are you asking me anything about that? You should be asking her.
That's
why I don't know why she even bothers you with any of this. So, yeah. Let me see. Hold on. And that would be Francesca James. There it is. Okay, here's that. Click that and send to. MMG. Oh, that's all it was. I didn't even tell her. I just said, what?
I'm just saying, it's just not like this shit. Yeah, just a text or something.
Yeah.
I guess she knows that my mom told her. I'm assuming it's the house, but she knows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You sent it over?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She didn't respond to that. That's all.
That's like, she didn't even ask. Oh my God, that's why wouldn't she be interested in that story?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like I'd been to jail so many times, but literally the only time I was ever actually in jail was that overnight thing for public drunkenness in 2005. And that was just a little holding cell, tiny holding cell with like 18 dudes in it. Yeah, it was just packed in there. And I was coming down from being drunk.
Oh, Yeah. So this one was more exciting than for you or something. I just don't know if like any jail would be good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just perfect for me. Because, like I say, you know, there's something called a Buddhist ashram, which you've heard of that?
Buddhist ashram? No, I think not.
If you're into OSHA and mysticism and stuff like that in Buddhism, you should know of a concept called ashram, which is, you know, classically and generally speaking, an ashram should be a cave at the top of a mountain. You climb up to this cave at the top of a mountain. There happens to be a guru, a swami in there, legs folded, meditating. And he says, "What are you doing here?" And you say, "What are you doing here?" And you sit there with him for 7 years, and then you leave, and then you come back to the U.S. and you write a book about it. But, you know, that was my ashram, because I didn't know how long I was going to be in jail. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't care. I didn't ask them. They didn't tell. I could have been there for 7 years or 2 months or you know, life without, you know. I was prepared for any of that. I was having a great time, you know.
That thing constantly told me. I didn't know the name of it, but I know P and I were talking about that 2018 about going into a cave, and there's your own spiritual guru in there.
Yep.
I know it was on that idea, but I didn't know that's what that was called, with ashram or whatever you just said.
Ashram, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. I remember, 2018, we were talking philosophy.
Yeah. The acoustics are so good in a jail cell. You sing and chant and everything. And just, I shot the breeze and just had conversations with myself. It was really amazing. It was awesome.
You were by yourself? You weren't with people?
Hold on a sec. I taught myself how to whistle with fingers. That was really amazing.
Whistle with fingers.
Put my fingers in my mouth and whistle.
Oh, you didn't know how to do that before.
I didn't know how to do that. Tonya's friend, this girl, tried to teach me once with I think it was with one hand, two fingers, of course, or something. It was either one hand or two hands, but I tried to do it. I couldn't figure it out, and I went to YouTube one time, and it was the other way, either one hand or two fingers, and I couldn't figure it out, but. It worked. I don't know. I just came together in my mouth in the jail cell. Towards the end, there's like maybe 20 minutes before they released me. Yeah. So what was your question?
You weren't with anybody. You by yourself.
Yeah. So when I was first put into jail, when I was taken out of the car, and the lady cop that was escorting me thanked me for my military service. And said, "Here you go, right this way into jail, sir." And they put me into this, the first room was, I guess they took my picture, turned to the right and then turned to the left. And then they, the first room was literally change clothes, literally take off my clothes. And they maybe bend over and all that. So, you know, I was officially in jail. Bend over and cough, and then they gave me a top and pajamas, and they were supposed to give me shoes, but that didn't come till much later. It's so funny. They kept asking me, "You didn't get shoes yet? Okay, I'll take care of you," and they didn't. Never got shoes till the end. But so the first room I was in was that holding tank, and I was there for several hours, and they finally brought me a bag lunch, and in the lunch was two peanut butter sandwiches and some packets of jelly. That's what it was. And an orange, little orange, and what's it called? A flavor packet to put in water. Orange flavor packet, right? And they didn't give me water. It was just a flavor packet. I thought, what am I going to do with this? So I thought, I didn't know what to expect with this jail. I didn't know if this is just what you know, jail is going to be. And so, you know, I was there for another hour or two, whatever, and had to go to the bathroom. I peed in the corner where there was already piss. And,
you didn't have a bathroom in there?
Not in there, not in that holding cell. And again, you know, theory of prisons and imprisonment who knows what it could be in there. You know, he has spit on me and whatever, you know, as well I should. It's not supposed to be a pleasant experience, but for me, you know, I was in that frame of mind where I just enjoyed everything about it. It just clicked and everything made sense. It was just wonderful. So that was the first room I was there, and then the light was on the whole time, and then they moved me to a holding cell six, which was a corner penthouse suite. It had a door on two sides, meaning there's a window this way and a window that way, and you know, door, and it was just great. I was right next to where people were brought in to be processed. You know, they processed me there too. I was in holding room six, and they that's where they put you up against this low wall and make you lift your feet up one at a time and wiggle your toes and when people would come in, every once in a while people would come in, I'd be chanting Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, or singing a song or something. And one of the times the deputy with the patient, with the inmate, was like singing my praises to the other inmate. Oh, you should have heard him in the other room. Oh my gosh, he just sounded just like whoever he said. It was so great. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so awesome. Yeah, and that's what I was there for, to spread love, joy and happiness, and I did. And that was that second room. And it was nice also when they brought me into that room, I of course didn't know what to expect, and it happened to be a private room, private cell, and it had the sink and toilet, and in the sink was this little styrofoam cup, and I was so happy. It brought me so much joy. I was like, wow, a styrofoam cup. This makes drinking water so much more convenient than having to sip it from the sink, you know? Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah, that and the fact they gave me a blanket, and the fact that there was a vent. If I stood in a spot on the floor, there's a vent where it was like warm air coming down. It was very comfortable air coming down, and it had a hint of a smell of like cigarette. It's almost like they put it there on purpose for smokers to get their cigarette needs met. And it just worked. It was really great. And that was the second room. And I was there however long. I was brought to jail on the night of Saturday. And then so I was in the holding tank, and then the room six that first night. And then at some point they came to me and said, we're taking you to housing. I'm like, wow, cool. And that's where they put me on the pod, like pizza, you know, when he was there. Literally when they processed me in,
yeah,
and they were giving me my clothes, a lady asked over the deputy over her shoulder, said, do you have a brother? And
I said, oh my God.
Yeah. I said, yeah, Pete or Bo. He was here last year. And they said, yeah, cool.
Oh my God, they remembered him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was a long time ago. That's very, it's possible for you. I mean, Peter's worried about you the whole time. I knew you were going to come out and say you were going to have the best time of your life. I knew you were going to say that.
You thought that, really?
Yeah, I did. But Peter was worried. I think, you know, what's going to say he's having the best time of his life?
I really did.
Yeah, I just knew. I just had a feeling. But, you know, I guess when your mom talked to Peach, the way she didn't, it wasn't like a pendant thing. Like, it was like, oh my God, he's in trouble or anything. Yeah. So I figured you either ask to be arrested, maybe. I don't know.
I literally did. They coordinated with me. If I wanted to go to jail, I could, because the lady cop asked me, do you know, she asked me several things. She finally said, do you know the difference between right and wrong? And I said, I would like to take the penalty of someone who does not know the difference between right and wrong. And she went right ahead and handcuffed me and took me away from hospital straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Yeah. I hope you got out of your systems. You know, ever since I've been with you, you will always want to go to jail. You feel like you had to go to jail, remember?
No, I don't.
Do you feel like you got that out of your system that you don't need to go to jail anymore?
Yeah. When I did what I wanted to do, I shared joy, peace, and happiness, and I cheered people up, and I got to be friendly and frisky with the guys, and it was just amazing. When I got to the pod and I got to my actual jail cell, not the holding cell, the jail cell. Blah blah blah. Getting back to the long story, was. I thought that I was there in the morning. I thought that I was brought there in the morning. But not even within an hour, they shut the lights off to dim, you know, to dim. Yeah. And then I realized, oh, I guess it's night. It's still nighttime. It's still maybe midnight or something. It was whatever time it was. And God, I was just so happy to be there and realizing every little thing that happened there was like a fun puzzle to solve. You know, what time is it? Oh, the lights just went off. I guess it's nighttime. You know, I don't know what's going to happen if they leave the lights on the whole night. And then, people, when the lights came on and they finally brought me breakfast, it's like, wow, you know, they feed you too. And then, they let one person out at a time, right? They let one person out, and I'm like, huh, are they going to let people out only one at a time all day? Is that what's going to be like? And the guy that they let out first was this cool guy that I waved to when they first brought me into the pod. You know, there's the place with the tables, and there's two stairways going upstairs. And my room was upstairs. It happened to be room 613, which is of Jewish importance, significance. And when I walked in, I was facing the far wall. There was a side wall, which I was going up to, and then there was a far wall. And so I was looking at eight windows, and the top left window had this guy looked so happy. It was so funny. And so we were waving, and he was happy. And then the bottom right window was this old guy, I guess, in a wheelchair. And he was really happy to see me too. And he was happy that I was happy. And he was, you know, give me hang ten sign and all that stuff. And so when I went up to my room, I looked out my window. I could see that first guy easily. It was the most convenient direction of sight, convenient line of sight was to this guy's room. And I was so happy. And we're communicating this and that, you know, here and there, and just having a great time. And then when he got finally let out in the morning to wander around, he came to my window and we were talking, and he was saying he had been in jail 45 times. Wow. Right? 45? Yes, 45. And I got to say, this is my first time ever in jail. I'm so happy. You know, oh gosh, he was laughing, and it was hard to hear, and I don't know what it was. And that was part of the paradox. That was part of the interesting thing about jail, was wondering, can people actually hear me, right outside this door? I can, if they're right at the door, I can hear them a little bit, right? If they're angled properly, I wonder, can they hear me? And I didn't know till the very end. When I was leaving, because that was the only time I ever went out and talked to people in population, they were behind the doors, and the one guy on the bottom right, they moved the guy, the old guy, and this different guy was in the bottom right, said, you know, what's going on? What are you leaving? I said, I guess, you know, they tell me to take my stuff. But when he said that, I heard him plain as day. I heard him plain as day, and I was at least 10 feet away from this window. And he heard me plain as day, apparently, too. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was so loud in my cell. I must have been keeping people awake, you know. So luckily, when it was lights out, I was quiet. And, you know, I slept, and I was just so excited to be there. And then this other guy, the bottom left guy, he was screaming and throwing arms the whole night in his cell. He was all pissed off. And just for fun, I walked up to his window. He was the, on my way out, he was the only window I actually walked up to and said something to. And you know, he was all pissed off, whatever. And I walked right up to him and kissed him where his mouth would be, you know. And his face like said, well, what? And you know, I said, I'll see you around. He said something. I said, what? And he said, what day and time is it? Or what day and date is it? Right. And I was like, it's Monday, December 20th. Right. He was so happy. And I said, I'll see you around. I was wrong, apparently. It was Monday, December 19th, but you know, what does he care? He had one wish and he was granted it. And I hope that he's happy.
Yeah.
In jail. It's just so funny to think. Oh, you know, to think 99%, 100%, effectively 100% of people that go to jail don't want to be there. You know, don't want to be there for whatever reason. And here I was having the time of my life. I wonder how many people do. I hope more than just me.
Well, you weren't there that long. So I'm saying that did they drop the charges? Is that what happened? Or did they have to just take you away for formality, but they were going to release you anyway?
Yeah, no, they dropped the charges.
Why? It was because you slapped a girl on the face?
The back of the head, you know, whatever. Nurse, yeah.
Hard?
Hard enough, whatever. Because I was trying to put my finger on her forehead like I normally do with strangers, see if they trust me. And she obviously didn't trust me. And as she was scurrying around me to get to the help button, the call button, I just smacked her in the head. You know, there you go, it's back. You know. And then when she was done pressing the call button, I asked her, what would the label be for the kind of person that I am being when I smack you? A stranger, right? And I just got this letter. I should show up to the camera. I got this letter saying from VA Salt Lake City that they had me on a list. Do I have a list almost? The next thing down from do not help, do not resuscitate list. If I ever come back, one, I have to go to the VA directly. I can't go to community outreach. And two, when I go to VA, I have to report to the police before I be seen, right? But it said the words disruptive behavior. And I'm like, I think that's a good description of what I do is disruptive behavior, you know?
Yep. Weren't you supposed to have some court case for that? Yep. It's all like anything. Yep. What happened with that?
It was either going to be today or tomorrow, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I told the court officer that on Monday, blah, blah, blah. But I told him, you know, he asked if I have any other pending things. I said, I have this stupid thing. It's a Zoom meeting, but it's a court case. It's a Zoom meeting, either Tuesday or Wednesday or tomorrow or the next day. And they're saying it's not even, jail isn't even on the table. So I don't know what the point is, but you asked and I'm going to tell you, that's what's going on. So maybe that hastened the process anyway.
I thought you might have did this for, I don't know, and your genius brain or something to get out of that, so you don't go to jail or something. Like, you know, I don't know how to explain. I thought you had a connection with that case. You're thinking, hey, if I go to jail now, they can't get me for that.
Yeah. You know, I told the guy, I killed two birds with one stone coming here.
Yeah, exactly. That's saying, like, you know, like you do time, you waited your time, you know, what else, an hour, a day, whatever.
Also them not giving me jail over there. Got jail here. Great.
That's what you did. You wanted jail over there?
I literally, how this played out is the best possible scenario. If I had thought about it and written down a plan, it would have been this exact plan, what I exactly did every step of the way.
Okay.
Because getting out the day I did, which was Monday, left me open to go to the court on Tuesday or Wednesday, and more beneficially, it left me open to go back to school on January 2nd, which is already paid for. I have 11 weeks of something to do. And if I so choose, I can do another 11 weeks for the next semester and so on, until they give me an associate's degree in pre-med, pre-med interest. And then I could do whatever I want with that if I so desire. I don't think I want to pursue anything beyond that, because I'm not a professional. I'm not bound by professional ethics. And I dare a hospital to hire me. I dare anyone to hire me, you know? I would have to come to terms with signing the paper, signing my rights away, signing my life away, saying I have freedom that employees don't have. I have the freedom to slap people around. I'll go to jail, but I have nothing to lose. I don't have a job to lose. I don't have a professional licensure to lose. No, it's all fine. It's all gravy.
Oh. What happened to you? But you were doing like good, and you're like a law-abiding citizen, and you know, you say you're supposed to behave, and what, you remember that part? Like, what happened? Like, now you're just like one in a muck, as they said.
Yeah. When did I say I wanted to be a behave law-abiding citizen?
When you had a job, and you were like, oh, you know, you were like just staying clean and just saying, oh, you got you right, and, you know, just seemed like you were like we're grown up.
I don't remember that.
I was like, when you fucking when we were doing that job together, that contact lens job, OGP.
Oh yeah, wow. No, I don't.
Wow, you must. Yeah, that's so weird. It just seemed like you were like you never want to get arrested. You want to go like and go on. Yeah. You know.
I had a great time there. Yeah, I would have missed that job if I got arrested and got fired.
Maybe that's what it really is. You have something that you actually like, and now you don't have anything to lose, so everything's up in the air, like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Your attitude, what I was like different, you know?
Yeah. Going to jail was on my bucket list, and I did it. So, yeah, like you asked, yes, I don't need to go to jail anymore. You hear that, Mom?
I'm glad you don't have that bad experience. It was like, because you didn't have to turn out bad, you know, you were sent away or something.
Sent away,
You know, that you it was okay. I mean, at that point, I guess they're nice there. I mean, if you were in the Vegas jail or something, probably would have been worse.
Maybe. I mean, me being me at this time in my life, I'm having a great year, great week, great month, great year. Even if I was in Vegas, you'd think people would be harder there, but I came in guns blazing, loving and caring, not caring, oops, didn't say caring, loving and spreading joy and peace and happiness and sharing peace through Buddhist chant and singing airborne cadences and singing army songs and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe inspire people, wow, he's a badass, you know, he was in the army. And that was another thing that I came up with that was very inspiring to me was, you know, people ask, I say I'm in the army and people ask me, what did you do? And I'm like, well, I had top secret, so maybe I could say, can't say what I did. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, the most thing that I did was basically nothing, clean things and sit around. But now I can say, I mostly got to sing songs. And maybe they say, oh, sing one for me. I'd say, saw an old lady walking down the street. She had a rock on her back and jump boots on her feet. Say, hey, old lady, where you going to? Said, U.S. Army Ranger School. Say, hey, old lady, now ain't you been told? Better leave that stuff for the brave and the bold. Sonny, Sonny, who are you talking to? I'm a drill sergeant at the Ranger School. And they say, oh my God, that's cool. That's badass. Thank you. It sure is.
Are you taking your medicine?
Yeah.
Are you like, did you change your mind about that? I was like, oh, you said that you must take these now. You were saying you didn't need it. Are you okay taking it now?
I took it. I kind of don't want to, because two doctors already said I don't need to. They did. They did.
Right. On the table, what did they say to you or to your face?
No, I was gone. They didn't say anything to my face on the way out the door today, this weekend. But they said in the paper, no medications prescribed.
But that's a
pain claw. I tend to believe it. What?
That's a pain claw.
Yeah, but I'm saying I tend to believe
it. It's a pain claw.
Why? I don't understand. This was the exit papers. This was the discharge papers. I tend to believe, I'm just saying, I tend to believe if they say I don't need meds, then I don't need meds and I don't want to take meds. But since you guys care that I take meds and I'm doing okay weight-wise, you know, I'm doing okay watching what I eat, you know, little by little. I'm doing a little better watching what I eat. You know, I'll keep taking the meds. You know, if for no other reason, I don't have anything to lose. And if by taking them, and if I do stop taking them, I have my college fund to lose. You know, I get kicked out of college and so on. You know, thrown in jail and lose my college, and that would not be fun. You know, I'm going to have a great time when I go to college, and yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying this. I mean, you know, I don't want another repeat of what happened in 2018. I'm just saying, you know, you need to be, for whatever reason, you need to be on there. I know where you're coming from, the way I had this discussed in 2017 and stuff, but it just seems like, you don't do good when you're not on them.
Yeah.
You know, and you're happy anyway. So what's the difference if you're taking them or not? Like, if you're taking them and you're having a great time, what's the big deal about taking them still? You know, like, they're doing anything, like you said.
Yeah, you know, I want to become a person that doesn't take meds, so people can stop asking, "Are you taking meds?"
I get it. No, I totally get it. I feel bad. I totally get it. Yeah, I remember this in 2017. I was trying to feel. Totally get it. I feel bad. Yeah. I just know Pete and your mom are worried about you, and that's why. Oh God, it's just they care. You know, people that care. Remember you said that to me. Your family. If you do it for your family. Like Joe and Brandy and all these people care. Yeah.
And people that don't know if I take meds or not, they ask if I take meds. I just say, no, I don't. Do you?
You don't tell them your business. That's what, you know, why you're telling me that you're sick or anything, you know? My mom was asking me the weirdest thing. Like, I think a couple weeks ago or something, she was asking, she said that my sister told her that you were bipolar. And she was asking me if you were bipolar. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you call Brett and And I know you told her your whole history because you were that way. So it was the craziest thing. She didn't know anything about you. She's acting like she didn't know anything about you. So I don't know if she just her mind's losing it or what. But that's my thing. You don't tell people. You could just say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's nobody's business. Maybe you change it. As you always you tell everybody everything. Maybe you're changing it and keep things to yourself now.
Yeah. Yep, sure. You know, I had a conversation with your mom about that, about taking meds and stuff like that. And
back then,
recently. In the last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, she called me and she was asking this and that. And,
oh, she did call me.
And surprisingly, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like she was on meds, meaning she actually stopped and listened to what I was saying. We had a good conversation.
Oh, wow.
Something was different about her. It was amazing. Maybe she had the phone to her ear properly at this time. I don't know.
Maybe she actually wanted to hear what she had to say. Yeah. You told her that you're on meds and stuff?
I don't know what happened with that, but it was actually a good conversation that wasn't based on meds.
Oh, I wish you would have recorded it.
Yeah, I would.
Especially sides of my mom, you know. I do worry, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know if she's on something or, you know, she's being held hostage by my sister. I don't know. She acts like, very strange and acts like she doesn't remember stuff, you know, and I don't know if she's playing games. I don't know. It could be, you know, the stress of everything. So if she actually did call you, then she was asking about that. Do you know what bipolar is? I was like, what? Am I being set up for something, you know?
Yeah. She said something. She said... It was the most interesting thing. I remember I asked her specifically, what do you think bipolar is, right? Uh-huh. And she had this weird off-the-wall answer of what it was, like not what you would imagine. I forgot what it was, but it's really off the wall. It's really telling of what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with someone that gets a couple of words and clings onto those couple of words, thinking that she knows what it means, and she doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I've been, why it's frustrating, why it's scary talking. That's why I think the whole mess with my dad happened. I think, yeah, and that's what I begin to realize little by little. And I don't know if it's a language barrier because of a, you know, Mexican background, or she listens to the news. But yeah, literally she gets these, and that's what's scary, because she's, you know, with my sister put in saying stuff, and she thinks, you know, but she comes up with this weird, like, you know, when she thought being held hostage, and she was dialing the wrong number the whole time.
Value number.
Yeah, she kept saying that I was being held hostage because she kept calling me and I never answered. And then I made her one number she was calling. She was calling the wrong number.
Yeah, I heard that. That's right. She was calling the wrong number. Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, that's what's scary, that she was into this whole thing. Yeah. And then, okay, she's fine. And I have to go through all that stress. And never again now, you know, never again that's happened.
Yeah.
And that's what she literally was calling the wrong number the whole time. It never occurred to her to think, well, maybe she called, you know, she had to have this fixate idea. Maybe it's movies she's watching, or people telling her stuff, or the news.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish she would have recorded that conversation. Would have been helpful to hear that, what she thought bipolar was. And she talks differently with you than she does with me. So yeah, let's say you talk to her. You see, it's getting a good conversation. Try to record if you remember. Yeah, sure. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm playing with the screen here, playing with the computer a lot.
11:42. Oh, wow, you're behind. It's 12:42 here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's a time change thing, I think.
Oh, really? In Phoenix? Okay, because yeah, so, you don't fall back, I guess.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of people saying something about Arizona. Yeah, not changing times or whatever. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
It's all on right now.
What?
Who's all on right now?
Who's on right now? I think
who's all on the conversation with us right now?
It's me over here at the table in the dining room, and Ma's over in the living room on her far couch, so she can hear. And this is being recorded on Zoom. There's my test run on Zoom.
What? Can you
not share that with people?
Can I not share that with people?
Or is it being shared right now?
I'm just setting up this system, and it's going straight to a cloud, a Zoom cloud, and I'm going to put it onto my YouTube for future posterity. Yeah.
Please don't.
You didn't say anything that was you know.
I don't.
That was bad. I'm saying at this point. Please don't.
Oh, whatever. Anyway,
please don't.
Yeah, please don't. All right. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I won't make it public. How about that?
Don't put it on YouTube.
I'm going to put it on YouTube. Seriously, make it private. Whatever. But this is good stuff.
Can you not?
Why?
Can you not put it on YouTube?
What am I going to do with it?
Delete it?
But it's good stuff.
It's just, you don't have to publish everything.
But I'm saying I'll put it on as private, just for me, just for my login.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. Come to terms with this.
What? Come to terms with this is why I don't talk to you.
Yeah. One shot, one kill. When you always have one shot, make it count. Bye. All right. Exactly 1 hour. Let's try this out. This is why I don't talk to you. This is why I don't talk to you.